All right, so today we're going to kind of jump back in time a little bit. We're going back to 1912.
Two. Okay.
Yeah, and take a look at this case. Borden Ice Cream Co. v. Borden's Condensed Milk Co.
Tell
you. Which, you know, on its surface, you're probably thinking, okay, oh, a case from 1912. How is this relevant to me?
Yeah, what's going on here?
But it really does establish some foundational principles of trademark law, especially when you're talking about things like personal names as trademarks.
I see. Yeah, so that is pretty relevant even today.
And then this idea of, you know, businesses operating in different markets and how much protection does your trademark give you?
Right.
So the basic conflict here, you have Borden's Condensed Milk Co. They'd been around since 1857.
Okay.
They were, you know, huge.
Yeah.
Condensed milk, evaporated milk.
Right.
Big player.
Absolutely.
Never made ice cream.
Okay.
And then you have this new company, Borden Ice Cream Co.
Mm-hmm.
Incorporates, wants to start selling ice creams using the name Borden. Now, the interesting thing, and this kind of always makes me wonder, like, what's the full story here?
Yeah.
Charles F. Borden, who's behind this ice cream company, owns one share of stock.
Interesting.
So it makes me think, you know, was this just a strategic use of the name?
It does seem a bit convenient, doesn't it?
You know, but anyway, Borden's Condensed Milk, not happy about this, goes to court and seeks an injunction,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a court order saying, stop, you can't use the name.
Right.
And it's worth pointing out, at the time this lawsuit was filed, Borden Ice Cream hadn't even started selling ice cream.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a preemptive strike by Borden's Condensed Milk.
Yeah, getting out ahead of it.
Yeah.
So they were worried about the name being used, even if the product wasn't out there yet.
Yeah. And, I mean, you can understand their concern.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've built this brand.
Mm-hmm.
You have this name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
This other company comes along, same name. Mm-hmm. You're going to think, wait a minute.
Well, and especially back then, I mean, how much information was really out there?
Right.
If you see a product that says Borden on it.
Right.
Are you really going to dig deep and find out, well, are these actually two separate companies?
Yeah, and is it going to, you know, somehow tarnish the image of my milk if this ice cream's no good?
Right.
So the court, you know, they had to really dig into trademark law and this idea of unfair competition, right?
Yeah.
So the key issue, and this is kind of where it gets interesting legally, is whether or not using the same personal name, because remember, it's a personal name, Borden.
Right.
In a different product line constitutes unfair competition,
mm-hmm.
right? So can you say, okay, well, they're making milk, we're making ice cream, totally different. We can both use the name.
I see.
And the related question to that is, well, what kind of proof do you need to show that there's actually harm or confusion?
Right.
In that scenario.
Because I imagine back then that was kind of a tougher thing to, you know, really pin down and prove.
Exactly. So the court here really centered its decision around a couple of key things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of the surprising part, mm-hmm. is that they ultimately sided with the new Borden, the ice cream company.
Oh, wow.
And a big part of that was this idea of secondary meaning.
Okay.
And the court said, okay, yeah, Borden is a well-known name. Everybody knows Borden for milk.
Right.
But has Borden's Condensed Milk shown that their name has that same meaning in the ice cream market?
Uh-huh.
And they basically said no.
I see.
Which, you know, is a key principle of trademark law, this secondary meaning. So for you listening, think of it like this. Secondary meaning is when a brand name becomes so closely associated with a specific product or service.
Right.
That it's almost like the name and the product are synonymous.
Exactly.
You know, you think of you think of Kleenex, you don't think of facial tissue.
All right, right.
You know, that kind of thing. So the court was basically saying, just because your personal name is well known doesn't mean you have automatic trademark protection across all industries.
Yeah.
You have to show that you've built up that secondary meaning.
That connection, yeah.
In that specific market.
Mm-hmm.
And the other really important point that the court made was about actual competition.
Okay.
And they said that, you know, in general, unfair competition requires that the two partners are actually competing in the same market.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 1912, they saw milk and ice cream as distinct markets.
Oh, interesting.
Which, you know, makes sense back then.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, you think about it, you know, with the internet, the way companies advertise.
Everything's blended now.
It's all kind of blended.
Right, right.
So would a court today, you know, potentially see that differently?
Yeah, it makes you wonder how would that play out in a modern case?
Yeah. It's a really interesting question to think about.
It is.
And so, you know, Borden's condensed milk, they weren't selling ice cream. Borden ice cream hadn't even started yet.
Right.
The court's like, well, there's no actual competition here.
Yeah.
Any harm that you're alleging is purely speculative.
Right. It hasn't happened yet.
We deal with actual damages, not potential future damages.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this part in the ruling that I have to read this because it seems so counterintuitive.
Okay.
The court literally said, the deception of the public is no concern of a court of chancery if the original proprietor's rights are unaffected.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah, that does seem backwards.
Right. Because you think, well, wait a minute. Trademark law is there to protect consumers.
Yeah.
You know, to stop them from being confused.
To prevent deception.
So what's going on here?
Yeah.
And what the court was saying is that in a private lawsuit, like this one.
Okay.
Where one company is suing another company.
Right.
The focus isn't necessarily on protecting the public at large.
Interesting.
The focus is on protecting the rights of the company that's bringing the lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
So they're saying, look, if Borden's condensed milk is not being harmed.
Right.
If their milk sales aren't being affected, if their reputation isn't being damaged, then we're not going to step in simply because there might be some confusion out there.
I see.
You know, like if someone buys Borden ice cream and they think it's made by the Borden Milk Company, the court's like, not our problem.
Right.
That's between them.
As long as the original Borden is okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to this idea of protecting the business interests of the plaintiff.
Yeah.
Not just preventing general consumer confusion.
I see.
So let's recap here and, you know, some of the big takeaways from Borden v. Borden.
Right.
First, just because you have a well-known personal name doesn't mean you have automatic trademark rights across the board.
Right.
You have to have that secondary meaning, that established connection with a specific product or service in that particular market.
It's not just the name. It's the name in a certain context.
Right, exactly.
Boy.
And then second, you generally need actual competition between the two businesses.
Mm-hmm.
For an unfair competition claim to be valid.
Right.
So if they're operating in totally different markets, the court's less likely to intervene.
Okay.
And then finally, you can't just go to court and say, oh, I'm worried this might happen, this might happen, this might happen.
Right.
You need evidence of actual harm.
Hard proof.
Right.
Yeah.
Not hypothetical scenarios.
Okay. So it's got to be something real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what's really interesting about this case, going back to what we were talking about before with, you know, the internet.
Right.
Is that the court really focused on the likelihood of confusion about the source of the product.
Mm-hmm.
So they were basically saying, you know, would someone see Borden ice cream and reasonably believe that it was made by the Borden Milk Company?
Right, right.
And given that they had no history in that market, the court was like, probably not.
It's interesting.
You know, but like you were saying, nowadays,
it's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's so easy for companies to expand.
Right.
And it's so easy for, you know, consumers to be bombarded with advertising from all different sources.
Right, right.
So, you know, it really makes you wonder how a case like this would play out today.
It does.
And I think that's a good takeaway for our listeners.
Okay.
You know, think about the brands that you interact with every day.
Right.
Think about how these principles of trademark law, secondary meaning, actual competition.
Yeah.
You know, the need for real proof of harm.
Right.
Think about how that applies to the companies that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this case shows that it's not always clear cut.
No.
You know, and that trademark law really has to adapt to these changing market conditions.
Right.
So it's a fascinating area to think about.
It is.
And I think, you know, Borden v. Borden's, even though it's over 100 years old.
Right.
It still has a lot to teach us.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you found it interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah.